everybody. Welcome to the next episode of Ping. Ping episode number 235.
Yeah.
Number five is alive.
235 is alive.
You got it. 235 days or episodes of things Microsofties are pinging each other about on various different devices, forms, form factors, and software products.
Yes. Definitely not 235 days.
No. But
consecutive.
No, not consecutive. We are four in a row, and I want to knock.
Wow.
We're getting better. We're going to see if we can keep that record going in 2015.
Now, but I noticed that you're not wearing an orange shirt.
I'm not an orange shirt. I'm in the wrong chair, and you are definitely a grown boy compared to Mr. DeFalco.
Well, you know, Mark couldn't be here today, so I'm happily stepping in.
I heard he was skiing or something.
I have no idea.
He's off in the woodlands, or I don't know, going off snowboarding.
The Swiss Alps or something.
Yodely.
Yodely.
No idea.
We'll all have to verify his yodeling capability when he's back in the next episode.
All I know is that he left us hanging the bag, so we got to be over to go through and see what we got. But you guys liked our episode last week.
Yeah, apparently the Leatherman was kind of a big deal. Yeah,
I'm still sporting my Fitbit and my old no-name watch, so hint to my significant other in case she wants to pick up a Father's Day gift or an early birthday gift or something like that, but Leatherman is the way to go. Pierre Cove was actually saying, hey, let's put a Raspberry Pi device with USB able to plug into the monitor or TV directly inside the Pi.
Yeah, and so this was kind of an answer to the question of the week last week, which was, what attachments or devices would you integrate into the new Leatherman?
Right.
So what do you have?
The Pi devices are large, though, right? Are they not?
Well, they're not that. I mean, they're significantly larger than, you know, the pocket-sized Leatherman, but they're getting smaller.
You see that wrist? I couldn't support a Pi device on that wrist, I don't think.
But yeah.
It's definitely an interesting approach. Maybe they get smaller.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have never actually bought a Raspberry Pi.
I haven't either.
I've eaten Raspberry Pi.
That's a whole different thing. Jay-Z Abecki says, surprisingly enough, there's already a SIM card tool in it. That's a fantastic idea.
Ooh. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
DeFalco actually was saying he wanted to add that.
Yeah, it's listed as tool number 25. Since he works in the cable industry, he'd love to see some sort of cable stripper tool.
Those are called teeth.
Yes. Also, they have closed wrenches. Would be nice to see some open-ended wrenches. Oh, and by the way, pronouncing JT Zabecki pronounced look like a Z, but sound a little Becky. Okay, I think I said it right.
You did.
JT Zabecki.
With a Z.
A Z, yes.
Not a Z. JVS underscore CA says F7 in the title. Did we do something wrong? Did I spell something wrong?
I have no idea.
I don't even know what F7 in the title means.
I don't know. D Tower says he always carries his Leatherman Skeletool in the small pocket of his jeans like it was fit there. Has a hard time going anywhere without his Leatherman. Therefore, he checks his bags when he travels with it. But the cutting hook, he says, is probably about 85% of his cutting needs. Mm-hmm. He does warn you it's not so good for food prep.
Right. Do not skin any wild fowl that you've caught with the hook.
Exactly. He would like to see an LED flashlight added.
That's kind of cool. I can see that one there. Develop KC. LED light would be a key addition, possibly. How about some type of flint and spark mechanism, just in case you get stranded somewhere and need to start a fire?
Because not everybody travels with you.
You know, fires happen by osmosis with me. So, thanks a lot for commenting on the question of the week and keeping us informed with your selections. What about you? You didn't get a chance to answer. If you could put any kind of multi-tool onto a wristband-mounted Leatherman, what would it be?
A wristband? You know what? In all honesty, I've got to go with the SIM tool thing is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's already on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, being put on the spot, that's one of those things that I just don't know that...
I would say like a micro SD card. That was my
actual storage inside of yours? Yeah, that would work. Flashlight works too, but storage, Leatherman, I don't know. I think that would work.
It probably is not waterproof. Let's get started.
Looking to add a little light in your life, particularly when it comes to your wireless phone charger?
I never thought of combining those two, actually.
Yeah? Well, Microsoft has introduced the new wireless phone charger that will it basically emits a ton of light and actually lights up and changes the lights with the various notifications and things that are going on.
Oh, I didn't know it did that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Super flashy. You take your Windows smartphone, the Lumia smartphone?
Lumia.
I just tripped all over myself on that one. And you've got, you drop it on there and it instantly lights up. The light can be very, very bright if you're into, you know, annoying all of your office neighbors with your glowing thing, but it can also be adjusted down and actually can be turned off. So overnight you can actually get some sleep and walk around.
You can interface this with your Windows phone on the accessory hub, I do believe, and then be able to control the levels of light, types of notification, and even having quiet time. To basically make it so that your significant other doesn't kick you out of the room for lighting everything up. Now, this is also any standard key charger, I think it's key charger. And so as long as your phone supports the key charging standard, you can use this device. Now, I actually saw some of these just recently at one of the Microsoft stores. I didn't pick one up though, because I have one of the original ones that still works. I'm kind of waiting for that one to kind of go into La La Land, and then I'm going to end up picking up one of these.
So one thing that's really cool about this is if you've got your phone linked to this device via Bluetooth, your phone's in the other room, and it starts to run low on power, the light will actually blink and say, it's time to plug me in. So super cool. Available now at the Microsoft Store, about $59.99-ish. So check that out. Powered over USB, so that's how we go.
Very nice.
Check it out.
I've got three little minions in my house, and I know you've got two in yours.
I like that term, minions.
Minions in my house. You got two in yours. And, you know, they're into the Minecrafts, they're into using technology, and in some cases, they're actually more insightful in using technology than I am in different areas, which is kind of interesting. But you know, I've actually been having one of mine coming up to me asking me about programming stuff.
Oh, yeah?
And I was interested to note that they actually had a educational game style environment you can go off and you can learn coding principles behind called Cody's App Academy is available in the store. They're mentioning it here because it currently features about 20 different levels of, think of them like puzzles and games, using programming logic about how to go off and solve the problem and learn stuff. It comes with online tutorials as well. And there's currently 20 different levels you can go through with an additional 80 on the way. So that is available for kids of all ages, including us infrastructure-focused individuals like myself.
You're going to need to use this app to learn to code?
I'm hoping that they have a PowerShell extension for it, actually. I don't know if it's possible, but I'll have to ask the game devs if it's available.
This is really cool because there's also some online courses which kind of get into some of the principles behind what is being taught and used in the gaming. So it's super cool, great way to get the... as you put it, the minions on board with some programming skills.
You got it. It's available right now inside the Windows Store. Go pick it up.
Newly available for those of you who are fans of the board game Risk and own an Xbox One, Risk has now made it to the Xbox One platform.
Yes, for dictators all around.
The classic game of world domination.
Yes.
Or Rick's domination has now moved up in the world of Xbox One, available for you to do now. You can direct the war from your high-tech control room. The classic maps are available, but it takes it to another level, bringing it out in 3D. You can deploy your tanks, your infantry, do your world domination, all without... So what happens? You play this on the board game, right?
Yeah,
so I have two.
Cottage
Do you
staple.
Ever get cottage so staple. Completely frustrated that you just go rah across the board?
Only once. And that was in a rather heated battle with my siblings. And I can or cannot confirm that there were different adult beverages involved.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, no, it was rather upsetting. It wasn't me that did it.
No?
No, it was one of my hotter-headed siblings.
Well, see, now you don't need to worry about it.
They didn't really do the swipe. They did the...
Oh, they lifted. Was it the board or the table?
Board.
Ah, okay. There you go.
It's worse than 52 pickup.
There's also live league play so that you can compete with people around the world, including Mr. World Domination here. So go check it out in the Xbox Games Store for Xbox One. It's Risk.
Some of the announcements that came out not too long ago with regards to the Windows 10 launch event and other subsequent things that came out after that,
yes.
Is some excitement in the maker community, mainly because we announced that Windows 10 will be supported on Raspberry Pi version 2. Now, I'm not a Pi or a Maker aficionado myself, other than the standard type of Pi that would normally have fruit raspberries inside of it. but apparently, Windows 10 will be available for free for members of the Windows Developer IoT community that's out there.
Yes, the Internet of Things community out there. Microsoft is focusing big on this Maker community to kind of help, you know, drive some of this innovation and stuff. And so really kind of a big step in that is to make Windows 10 available, and there will be a version of the Raspberry Pi that will run on Windows 10, or you can run Windows 10
run Windows 10 on the version Pi.
On the version
Raspberry Pi.
Yes, exactly.
Let's get these numbers right in the right order, juxtapositioned, and have the proper connectors.
Yeah, exactly. It's late. I need coffee. So basically bringing together the same developer tools, the same services that you're used to into that new Internet of Things and Raspberry Pi communities. Fantastic.
Part of the bigger movement, obviously, also being able to go off and talk to all these different devices across all sizes of devices, form factors, and everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just the broader Internet of Things movement. So super excited. More details about that coming soon, but we wanted to get it up on your radar if you are one of those Raspberry Pi aficionados.
And if you have not already done so, go ahead and join the IoT development with Windows developer program. There's a link inside the notes of the article on how to do that.
Yes, absolutely. Coming right along, the theme of announcements around the Windows 10 and subsequent announcements is an announcement from our office folks.
Right. During the Windows 10 launch event on the 21st of January, we actually got a preview of what a lot of those apps look like, if I remember correctly, from what Bill Fiore was showing us on the environment. But they weren't available with the initial release until just now. And so they now have actually made a post on the Office blog posts and the Office blog. Julia White did it, I think.
Yep.
I was talking about the availability now for Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
As a universal application.
As universal applications. And so touch-enabled, touch-first, if you will, applications that are out there. You already got a chance to kind of play around with OneNote in that form factor, because that was built into the box.
Yep.
But now Office is there as well. I have not had a chance to try it out yet, but
no,
my colleagues have. And he's currently in love with the touch interface for working with Outlook for that one there, which is kind of cool. But rest assured, I will be installing this when I get back. There were some initial problems for the initial loadout, if you happen to be around. They've all been resolved if you haven't had a chance to check them out. So go to the beta version of the store on Windows 10 Tech Preview, 9926 and above, and go ahead and look for the new Office apps.
One other thing that Julie announced in the blog post is that they, while simultaneously working on the Office Universal applications, they are also working on the next version of Office for the desktop.
Oh, yeah.
And she has basically come out and said that it will be called Office 2016. So they're going to have more to share on Office 2016 or the desktop version in the coming months. But she wanted to make sure that the feedback is being taken. They are going to be working out on that desktop suite as well. So, couple of different things for you to do. Try it if you've got a touch-enabled device. Go give that universal app and you're running the Windows 10 preview. And then stay tuned for more news on the desktop front.
If you want to get a chance to take a look at some of this, they actually have from the Office Mechanics blog a nice little video that's giving you kind of a show of all the
different things. Yeah, super cool video.
So go check that one out.
Have a look at that blog entry from Julia and check out the universal applications for Office. Well, I think that about does her.
Episode number 235 in the can. Got it. It's perfect.
It did the sound effect for you.
It works. Well. You never know if the editor picks that up or not. We'll find out. Thanks so much for joining us. What did you guys think of the episode? You can let us know below inside the comment area. Or if you want to, you're also able to go ahead and to interact with us on the Twitters using
hashtag
the Pink
the
Show.
The Pink Show.
No, no. Oh, sorry. No. Why, you're messing me up. I forget. It's not the Ping Show. It's Ping Show.
My bad. Hashtag Ping Show.
Ping Show.
Yes. Or you can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/theping show.
There you go.
Which is where I was all confused. You know, Facebook, Twitter, it all bleeds together.
And then obviously you can reach us individually as well if you wanted to at @RicksterCDN.
I'm @JoeySnow.
And, question of the week.
I got one.
Yeah?
Talk about risk.
Yes.
We were talking about risk being available and our fun stories of the board game being tossed over.
Yep.
What territory were you when you played Risk?
I'm going to say I was the Americas. I was easy. I was Canadian.
Yeah.
So I stayed in the Americas.
So I, you know, growing up, and I'll date myself here, but I've grown up in the Cold War. I always wanted to play the other side.
Oh, yeah?
So I was always in that, in the Soviet Union territories, right?
Oh, nice.
And the Russian territories. So yeah. That's what I played, and I was fiercely competitive playing Risk back in the day.
Nice.
Haven't played it in a while, though.
No?
Might have to break that one out.
I think we're going to have to start doing some online gaming, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely on that.
If you guys want to get one of these little Channel 9 guys, don't forget, you can also send us some snail mail. You can reach us at The Ping Show, care of Channel 9, Building 20, 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052.
Yes.
And with that, let's put this one to bed and say that we're all done, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah!